Hello again and welcome to another edition of Authors Audio. I'm your host, Jake D. Steele. Remember, you can listen to all our interviews by visiting our website at www.authorsaudio.com and click on the listen icon on the homepage or the iTunes icon, and you can listen from there. I have with me today an authority on sound healing and a pioneer in the field of harmonics. I'm talking about writer, musician, and teacher Jonathan Goldman. Jonathan is the author of Healing Sounds, The Power of Harmonics, Shifting Frequencies, The Lost Chord, and Tantra of Sound, co-authored with his wife, Andy. Today I have his new book with me called The Seven Secrets of Sound Healing, and we'll be talking about that. He has studied with masters of sound from both the scientific and spiritual traditions, including the Dalai Lama's chanting Giotto and Gyumi monks, and has been empowered by the chant master of the Dipang Losling Monastery to teach Tibetan overtone chanting. He created the Medicine Buddha for the Dalai Lama's teachings in Northern California in May 2001. His collaboration with Tibetan chant master Lama Tashi, Tibetan Master Chants, was nominated for a 2006 Grammy Award for the Best Traditional World Music. Well, Jonathan Goldman, it's great to have you on Authors Audio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jake. How about yourself?
Well, Jonathan, I want to thank you so much for being with us today and taking time out to talk about your book, your new book called The Seven Secrets of Sound Healing. And I'm sure when you first started out, however, it must have been quite a lonely profession, because I'm sure there weren't too many people involved in the kind of work that you do now.
That's right.
And maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit of history of how you developed and how you got to where you are now.
Well, Jake, I had an experience when I was close to 30 years old, and that was close to 30 years ago, so I'm 58 right now, going to be 59 in about a month or so, but that was probably back in around 1978, 79. And I was a professional musician, and I was playing in a seaside bar in Marshfield, Massachusetts, which is probably about an hour outside of Boston. I had the experience, which for me, I like to say that the light of God struck me one night when I was on stage, and that seems to be, you know, the only thing that I can think of that really happened, because I was out there, got on stage with this group, strapped on my guitar, started playing, and all of a sudden, I became aware that the ambiance in the club, if you like, the energy in the club, was being influenced by the sound that I was creating with this band, and it was helping induce an ambiance of negativity and violence. Now, no question that the alcohol and the other intoxicants that people are imbibing in was also helping create this ambiance, but the music was also doing it. And I had this thought as I became aware of that. And this thought was simply, gee, I wonder if music could make people feel better, could be used to make people feel better. The concept of, quote, healing with sound didn't actually enter my psyche for a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden all these extraordinary doors began to open. But at the time, just this thought, you know, the awareness that the music that I was playing was contributing to this ambiance of negativity and violence, and the thought, I wonder if music could be used to, you know, as a positive tool to make people feel better, entered my psyche. Now, Jake, I had been playing professionally for close to 15 years. I mean, I began playing when I, guitar when I was about 12 or 13 years old. When I was about 15 or 16, there was a battle of the bands. We actually beat Bruce Springsteen's band out in a battle of the band in New Jersey. So it'd been many years that I had, been playing. I'd never had that thought. So, I mean, and that thought literally changed my psyche. After that, within a couple of weeks of thought about it, well, gee, I wonder if, you know, sound or music could be used to heal. And As soon as I had that, I literally, a couple of days later, I got a phone call from a friend who said, hey, there's this workshop going on healing with sound and music given by a woman named Sarah Benson. You want to go with me? I said, okay, that sounds like a pretty good idea. And I went to this workshop that was given by this woman, and at one point, I was placed in the middle of a circle with people who were basically singing my name. And I literally had what might be considered an out-of-body experience or something, because all of a sudden I found myself in what I now know to be an amethyst pyramid in the woods. And I remember this green light filtering in through the amethyst and hitting me. And when I finally came back down, to my real self and opened my eyes, I looked around and I said, gee, this is really powerful. I got to find out more about this.
What is an amethyst pyramid?
I don't know. Well, I mean, you know, they have these cut glass, cut quartz crystal amethyst pyramids, and they're purple. You know, but those are little handheld things. But this was something that I had been transported to, that literally I was able to go within, and it felt like a very, very real experience. And it was quite extraordinary for someone who, I normally don't have these types of, out-of-body experiences or whatnot, and it was profoundly powerful and obviously due to the sound. So, when I came back and I said, gee, I got to find out more about this, and that began literally about 30 years of how to use sound as a healing modality. And the woman, Sarah Benson, who was the person who initially initiated me into sound at that workshop, became just one of my dearest, dearest friends. I did a number of different recordings with her, and she, one of my own dear best friends, but also one of my wife's dear best friends. And she passed away about a year ago. She's dearly missed, but boy, what an experience. Can you imagine what that would be like?
You mention in your book, which I thought was very important, that maybe people don't understand, but you say in the Bible, of course, it says, in the beginning was the Word, which is basically sound and vibration. All cultures refer to it. And in fact, it's my thought anyway, I don't know if it's yours, that actually that is a very, very simplistic way of saying that the whole universe was put into a creative modality through sound and vibration. Is that what you were getting at?
Well, for sure. And if you examine the basic tenets of the different spiritual traditions on the planet, most of them, almost all of them, in fact, have this understanding that sound is the original creative force. As you said, in the beginning was the Word from the Old Testament, and the Lord said, let there be light, sound producing light. In the book, I think I list about a page of different, creation myths, for want of a better term, from different traditions, which have the creator being speaking or making a sound or creating a vibration that brings life, the universe, and everything into being. And if you think about it now from a scientific level, what do we call the beginning of creation? The Big Bang. Or if one wanted to, be a little more spiritual, you could say the cosmic hum.
Yes, well, there were a couple of guys that got a Nobel Prize award for, they were trying to get this background noise out of their signal, and they found that everywhere they pointed their telescope, there was this background noise, and it turned out that they had actually discovered the ancient sound of the beginning of the universe was still there.
I actually went to a presentation by those people.
Oh, you did?
And it was very, very interesting. And then later on, I saw some people who tried to determine the actual note or frequency of it. And they said it was something like 88 octaves below that of a... And I can't remember what the note was, because I always find that you can't really... From my perspective, I don't know if you can actually pin it down to an actual note or something. What they didn't do, they didn't play an example of it. I guess because something at that level, 88 octaves below our audible level of hearing, would be beyond the realm of most creatures to be able to encapsulate.
You state the seven secrets of sound healing, and you go through them. Maybe what we can do is just sort of talk very briefly about them.
Right. Well, I mean, it's interesting. Usually when I talk to people about sound, the very first thing I like to do is just give them an idea of this concept that the ancient mystics and now our modern physicists are in agreement that everything is vibration. First, I'll suggest that in terms of sound is an energy that travels as a wave form. And this wave is measured in what they call cycles per second. And how many of these wave forms happen per second is called its frequency. So that, for example, if something had 100 wave forms per second, it would be 100 cycles a second. If something had 1,000 wave forms per second, it would be 1,000 cycles a second in very deep sounds. For example, I'm going to make a sound that is going to be somewhere around 70 cycles a second. Okay, it's, you can hear it's very, very deep. And now make a sound that's pretty high. This would be somewhere around 700 to 1,000. So, and that's a faster vibration causing a faster waveform causing a higher sound. So low sounds have slower frequencies, higher sounds have faster frequencies. And we hear from around 16 of these frequencies per second to around 16,000. But Jake, our friends in the ocean, the dolphins, can project and receive sounds upwards of 180,000 cycles per second. That's more than 10 times our highest level of hearing. And I like to suggest to people that indeed when the ancient mystics and our modern physicists talk about everything being sound, they're not talking about simply things being within this, if you like, the spectrum of audible hearing from 16 to around, 16 or 18,000 cycles a second. They're talking about basically that sound is vibration, that everything is in vibration, and therefore just because we can't hear it doesn't mean there isn't a vibration being associated with it. And this includes not only the electrons moving around the nucleus of an atom, or planets moving around stars in distant galaxies, but our own bodies. Every organ, every bone, every tissue, every system of the body is basically in a state of movement and vibration, and if it's moving in vibration, it's putting out a sound. And we are, when we're in a state of health, we're like this orchestra that's playing this overall wonderful symphony of health. But in fact, when we're in a state of health, we say we're in sound health. But what happens if the second violin player loses their sheet music? They begin to play the wrong notes. They're out of tune, out of melody, out of harmony, out of rhythm. Pretty soon the entire string section sounds off. Pretty soon the entire orchestra sounds off. And this is a metaphor for, if you like, a part of our body vibrating out of ease or out of harmony. And if it's vibrating out of ease or out of harmony, we call the part of the body, we say it's diseased. And now, I come from a family of medical doctors, my father, grandfather, and brother, all medical doctors. And I have the greatest respect for traditional allopathic medicine. But currently, with this metaphor of the human body being like an orchestra, the traditional approach is either to give the string player who's lost their sheet music enough drugs so they simply pass out, whoosh, or else to cut their head off with a broadsword, which is analogous to surgery, removing, therefore, the second string player from the orchestra, which then allows the orchestra to play, to get back into it and play without this wild person playing the wrong things. But at the same time, there is no second string player. And the question is, what would happen if we were somehow able to restore back to this musician their sheet music? What if we could somehow restore or project the correct resonant frequency to that part of the body that was vibrating out of ease or out of harmony, causing it to vibrate back into its normal, healthy, resonant relationship? And that is the basic principle of using sound as a healing modality.
You do distinguish in your book between the difference between sound and music. Maybe you could tell us what you mean about this.
And I have to admit, this is my own delineation just done for the sake of convenience, because conceptually there should be no difference between sound and music. But in reality, there are many different healing implements that use vibration, that use sound, and they're very, very strange sounding. Sometimes they're composite frequencies. Sometimes they're just, you know, very, very bizarre sounding things that could sound anything like a fan or a vacuum cleaner or something like that, and they can have profound healing effects. But at the same time, if you're expecting to hear Mozart or the Beatles, you'll be extremely disappointed and maybe even a little shocked. For example, I can make this very deep Tibetan deep voice, and that is, if you like the type of sound that is found in the music of Tibet, but a lot of people might hear that sound and hear it as being very unmusical. So I created that differentiation just so that those who wanted to delve into the realm of sound healing might not be expecting some sort of really ordered classical music or pop music type of thing if they were experiencing it, and just be open to it.
Well, Jonathan, your book is called The Seven Secrets of Sound Healing, and I'm wondering for our listeners if we might just be able to touch very briefly on these seven steps or secrets for our listeners.
First secret is everything is vibration. Here, I talked about this before, so we know that. Then the second secret is intent is powerful. And this, to me, was perhaps the most important thing that I may have discovered about sound. And I discovered this probably 20 years ago when I was working on a master's degree in independent study researching the uses of sound and music for Lesley University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And I had literally been collecting different systems of using sound and music for healing. And once again, I understood the basic principle, which is that, you know, putting something into its correct resonant frequency. But here I had, Jake, I had a pile of papers that was probably a foot high of different systems of using sound for healing. And all these different scientists or spiritual masters would be using, you know, scientist A would be using one frequency for a particular condition, scientist B would be using a completely different frequency for the same condition, or spiritual master X would be using one particular mantra to resonate the chakras, the subtle anatomy of the body, and spiritual master Y might be using a completely different mantra to resonate the same chakra. And I remember I was in a really deep state of what could be called intellectual angst, because, you know, there I was with this pile of paper working on this, and I said, oh my goodness gracious, how can this be? How can all of these different systems be claiming success? And there was no reason I didn't, you know, believe that these people who were investigating and doing this work for many years were having success. But at the same time, they weren't in agreement. And I remember I had my head in my hands, thinking, how can this be? How can this be? And all of a sudden, I basically heard an inner voice say, it is not only the frequency, and that of frequency, I mean, of course, the cycles per second or the vibrations of an object, that of a sound that creates its effect, but also the intention of the person making the sound. And I literally wrote frequency plus intent equals healing. So intent, if you like, is the energy behind the sound. It's extremely important. Close to 20 years ago when I first developed this one, it was really, really out there. The concept of intent was beyond, particularly when I spoke to scientists about it. They would just think I was a little strange for having that thought. But now, of course, I can turn on one of these specials on public broadcasting or whatnot, and there'll be somebody talking about the power of intent. So it's now come into our consciousness, and I'm very, very pleased about it because it's so important. And once again, one of the formulas is frequency plus intent equals healing. Another one that basically says the same thing a little bit differently is vocalization plus visualization equals manifestation. That is, making a sound with a particular, you know, visuality is there such a word? Visualization actually helps manifest what it is, and this is found in so many different spiritual traditions, including whether people are praying or people are chanting mantras or whatnot. And then finally, the latest one is sound plus belief equals outcome, which may be the simplest and most, mainstream of these thoughts, simply because our belief is so very, very powerful. You know, there's a fellow by the name of Bruce Lipton. He wrote a book called The Biology of Belief, which is very important. And I have a dear friend named Greg Braden, a new book called The Spontaneous Healing of Beliefs. Because a belief thing seems to be so very, very important in terms of our connection to the reality that manifests, and it may be that we are, co-creators of the reality down to a very, very cellular level, down to a very, very deep, deep DNA level, and that's really phenomenal. So that's the secret, which is, intent is powerful. And then secret number three is we are all unique vibratory beings. Well, whenever I begin a workshop, I ask people, are allergic to penicillin. And usually anywhere from 10 to 20% of the people in the audience will raise their hand. And I'll say, okay, if everything in the universe is in a state of vibration, then that includes penicillin. Penicillin has a vibratory rate. And for 80% of you, that vibratory rate will heal you under most conditions. But for 20%, that vibratory rate is going to be toxic. And I think that basically that's a pretty good metaphor for any type of sound, for any type of, whether, it's a vitamin or a smell or a light or whatever you want. We're all unique, so you can't just say, well, this sound is going to heal everyone. Or you can't say this vitamin or this drug is going to heal everyone. So it's very important as we get into the realm of beginning to understand how sound can be used to heal. I thought it was very, very important for people to understand that if they experienced a sound that they didn't like, that felt really bad and made them not feel good, but, for example, if they listened to a sound and it literally made them ill for hours or whatnot, I would say, don't go back, don't listen to that. I think this is very important. I wrote the Seven Secrets of Sound Healing for the mainstream population because sound is becoming more and more into the forefront of the healing modality, whether it's traditional allopathic medicine or, complementary medicine. It was my great pleasure to do a presentation for a man named Dr. Andrew Weil, who you may have heard of. Deepak Chopra as well knows about the power of sound as a healing modality. And so it's really beginning to reach mainstream. And I wanted to write something that was not very complicated, that anyone, I have an 85-year-old aunt, I sent her a copy of this book, and she said, this one I'll read, because it's basically not complicated. It's a very kind of pretty-looking book, and I wrote it very simply, and as, it's a very simple and easy-to-read book, and yet it's something that most people can really get their consciousness into.
Well, in regards to sound healing, especially for people doing it on their own, using their own sound, are there specific sounds or pitches that people can use that can be directed at various parts of the body, various organs of the body?
Oh, sure. I always like to say that the most powerful healing instrument is our voice. It doesn't require electricity, doesn't require batteries, and the owner's manual is relatively easy to use, and it's free. We can learn to use our voice as a healing instrument, and this is called toning, T-O-N-I-N-G, and you can literally learn to resonate, whether it's your chakras, which are the esoteric subtle energy centers of the body, or you can project your own sounds into different parts of your body. And in fact, Jake, I literally, just this week, working in conjunction with another company, launched the world's first online sound healing course. That's an 8-week course. It's done through a company called DailyOM.com. So if your listeners are interested in taking this up, I certainly would applaud that. And one of the chapters in the book, I'm jumping now, this is one of the later chapters, is called There Are Many Notes in a Scale. And by that, I used that as a metaphor for the fact that there are 12 notes between an octave, or the, one frequency doubled is usually in Western traditional music divided into 12 different sections. So I basically have 12 different ways that people can learn to project and use sound into their bodies. And one of them, of course, is toning. And another one is working with mantras, which is very, very similar, but a little bit different, because mantras are specific sacred words from different traditions, as opposed to toning, which usually works with vowel sounds. And then there's all sorts of really interesting instruments that have been developed that a vibrating applicator against your body and the sound goes through it, through that. That's one way. Or another is to sit in a chair and have the sound pumped into you. And another way is to actually use tuning forks. And I mean, here's something that's very, very interesting and very, very important. Most people think of sound simply as an energy that goes into our ears and then into our brain and then affects our nervous system, which includes our heartbeat, our respiration, and our brain waves, which is by itself very, very important. The fact that you can influence your heartbeat, respiration, and brain waves through sound is majorly important, particularly for people who want to reduce stress, because, for example, as we know, stress is one of the major causes of a lot of imbalances that are happening to people on the planet, including our immune systems. And we can use different types of music, just listening to the music, to calm down and relax.
Well, yes, and also, of course, people will tell you that just nature itself, being out in nature, listening to the trees, the wind in the trees, the water, if you're by the ocean or a waterfall, or listening to the birds, whatever, it's all, that is also sound healing, isn't it? It's, the whole thing is sound healing.
Oh, indeed, it is, and there are many different recordings of just nature sound. In the Seven Secrets of Sound Healing, there is a CD, and it's about a 25-minute piece called Peaceful Journey. And that employs a lot of the different principles that I talk about in the book.
Well, I did promise Jonathan that I would share with my audience a little bit of the CD that he includes with his book, The Seven Secrets of Sound Healing. And I just trust that you're not operating any heavy machinery, because you know, this is supposed to be a relaxing and healing tape. So if you're in a mellow mood, let's have a listen to a little bit of Jonathan Gold. Well, I hope you're all still with us. That really takes you out there. That is really wonderful stuff, Jonathan. And thanks very much for including it with the book, which all of our listeners can get. And it, in a world today of so much stress and everything else, that's just the kind of stuff you need to mellow out and let the body come down from that busy street scene, that busy street cycle. Thank you.
But, you know, what I also wanted to say was not only sound going into our ears affecting our nervous system, but here is a quote from the New York Times science section. Sound shaped into dazzling tool can make, break, or rearrange molecular structure. So here we're also talking about something that actually, and this is what I was talking about in the beginning, an energy that can go directly into the body and changing us down to a molecular level, if you like, an atomic level, if you like, you know, moving and changing our DNA and enhancing our health. So it's not only an energy that goes into our ears and into our brain, but it actually goes into our body, into our cellular structure as well. And that's very, very important.
See, the whole idea of resonance and entrainment, when you think about it in terms of pendulum or pendula, and how you can put one on the wall and you put another one further down on the wall with the same, it has to be the same length, of course, but you can start up one pendulum and after a while the other one will start moving in complete sequence with the other one.
Now, I don't actually know if it needs to be in the same length because this was actually discovered in the 16th century by a Dutch scientist who he was a contemporary of Newton's and held in high esteem. His name is Christian Huygens, and he actually discovered the rings around Saturn, and he also discovered, I believe, the waveform phenomena of light, and he also is the inventor of the grandfather pendulum clock. And he literally had a room full of grandfather clocks that were all clicking, that were actually moving at the same time. So he went around and he stopped them and he started them at all different times, and then he came back the next day and they were all again locked in synchronization with each other. And this is called entrainment. And sound can actually be used to entrain our brain waves, our heartbeat, and our respiration. Very, very important.
Yes, it is, and I imagine that this is rather a big part in sound healing, really, because it basically gets the body or the organs or whatever you're treating back into sync with the rest of the body, and the outcome is basically that everything's working together, right?
Right. What a powerful blessing. What a powerful blessing.
Along those lines, too, you mentioned, is it kinesiology?
Kinesiology. It's actually called applied kinesiology. And it was discovered, oh, Lord, it seems to have been, it was brought to the United States by a chiropractor by the name of George Goodhart, who is a sports chiropractor. And it then has been taken up by a lot of people in the holistic health field, including a lot of medical doctors, who have found it to be an extraordinary tool that can be used in place of a lot of analysis and diagnosis, and proves to be most often correct. But it was initially brought over from England, where the bobbies, the police, had been using it as sort of a lie detector to determine if people were... and now, I guess, I don't know if they still use this, because, you know, for all I know, the courts decided that it either wasn't scientific enough or not. But what's interesting is kinesiology, or applied kinesiology, is really a method of muscle testing. And if you hold your arm out, if you hold one arm out, and if you place something that is good for you, let's say a piece of fruit, in your hand of the other arm, the hand that's sticking out, if you try to press it down, it'll be very, very strong. But if you put something in the hand that was holding the fruit and you exchange it for something that's probably not too good for you, like maybe alcohol or tobacco or something like that, the hand that you're holding out will become very, very weakened. The same thing is basically true for most people. If they're telling a lie and they're still holding out their arm, it'll actually become weak. It's quite an amazing phenomenon. There's a whole, if you like, there's a huge field called kinesiology.
Yes. Your book really is it's just a wonderful introduction for the average person to get into. And like you say, even people that are more informed about sound and music. My guess is that we're headed far more into this type of treatment and other treatments like it far more down the road.
Well, Jake, I mean, it's interesting. There was a man named Edgar Cayce. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he was a well-known psychic who made many, many predictions in the late 1910s and 20s and even the 30s. He would lie down and he would begin to give people what they call readings, and he would talk about a lot of different aspects of either their life or doing medical treatment for them that, you know, now a lot of the things that he talked about are being used. And one of the things that Cayce said that the medicine of the future would be sound. Once again, we're talking about actually being able to change the resonant frequency of something that's vibrating out of ease or out of harmony and then training it back to a state of health. And that's phenomenal.
Well, for those of you in the front row and those of you in the back row, we have to say that our program is coming to an end, but I'm very happy, and I'm sure you are, to have spent the time we have with Jonathan Goldman, who is a master at sound healing, and his book, The Seven Secrets of Sound Healing, is now available on Amazon.com. You can get it through our website by going to www.authorsaudio.com and click on the photo image of Jonathan's book, and you'll be directed right there. Also, Jonathan has a website, and his website is worldwidewebhealingsounds.com. That's worldwidewebhealingsounds.com, and he has many other CDs for you to have a look at, and he has other books.
Well, thank you so very, very much, Jake. It has been a great pleasure to talk to you. Thank you again.
Well, it's been my pleasure, Jonathan, for sure. And I think everyone out there has a much better idea after listening to the program how this kind of therapy can help the people that they love. So, until next time, this is Jake D. Steele saying, keep dreaming and happy reading. Bye for now.